Okay. Why don't we start off with the flag salute? I pledge allegiance
to the flag
United States of America,
to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. This is the April 5th, 2021 virtual public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the Township website, the bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
All right, and just so you know, just like we're doing at the Board of Adjustment, during these virtual meetings, the absence challenge game, whatever, is off. Okay, it doesn't come back on until we're in person.
Okay.
Hey, Ms. Butcher?
Absent.
Mr. Glaser?
Here.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Ms. Johnson?
Here.
Oh, and Kevin, just so you know, I swore in Kate Johnson before the meeting started.
Great. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Kevin.
Mr. Lazarus?
Here.
Mr. Millay?
Present.
Mr. Scheich?
Here.
And Mr. Semang?
And you forgot Ms. Kleinhans.
Oh, geez, I am so sorry. Ms. Kleinhans.
And Ms. Kleinhans, you're muted. She said here.
Okay, thank you. You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Great. And so you already swore in Ms. Johnson, so that's good. Meeting minutes, none. We have a resolution, ExxonMobil Research and Engineering Company, 1545 Route 22, Lot 30, Lot 1730, 3141, Block 31, Lot 1, Block 3002, Lot 1, Application 2021-01, Resolution 2020-01, and this memorializes the waiver of site plan approval to relocate an acid coat tank at its existing office research facility.
Right, and Denise, can you read the version? I believe this should be version 3. Is that correct? Bill Glazer shaking his head, yes.
That's the one I have.
Version 3.
Okay.
Version 3, yes.
And the applicant's attorneys have reviewed it, and they agree with it.
So does anybody have any questions or comments on that previously distributed resolution?
Hey, Denise, can you call who's eligible to vote on the resolution? Because we need one of the eligible people to make the motion and one of the eligible people to second it.
Okay. Eligible members are Mr. Semay, Mr. Glaser, Mr. Higgins, Ms. Kleinhans, Mr. Lazarus, Mr. Millay, and Mr. Scheich.
Is there a motion from someone in that group?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Higgins' motion, Mr. Glaser second. And Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Mr. Lazarus.
Yes, sorry.
There we go.
Okay.
Mr. Malay.
Yes.
Mr. Scheich.
Yes.
And Mr. Semay.
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Now we have a public hearing. This is Willett's Own LLC, 1221 Route 31 South, Block 89, Lot 5, Application 2021-02, and the applicant is seeking minor site plan approval for a proposed 216-square-foot area of existing area accessory store to be converted for general store use.
Now, I see Kristen Perry, who's the applicant's attorney. I see her name now. Her video looked like it was having a problem. Kristen, can you hear us? So it looks like we have lost her.
I can hear you.
Oh, wonderful.
And I'm assuming you can hear me because I'm not muted.
Right. We can hear you. We just can't see you. It looks like you have a very nice back. It looks like you have a very nice background going there, unless that's your house or your office.
Here I am.
Behind you.
Okay, there you go.
It's popping in. Oh, geez. It's popping in and out, but can you hear me?
You're popping in and out. Can I make a suggestion? I'll bet you have a bandwidth problem. And since we don't have to see you, you might be better off calling in. If you heard that.
She's dropped off, John.
Okay, so let's see what happens.
Hopefully she calls in.
Wayne Ingram, do you have her cell phone number?
I do. Yeah, I'll
shoot her a text and tell her we have to see the witnesses such as you, but we don't have to see her.
Sure.
Yeah, this is Adam. I got in through the dial-in as well. I had problems with WebEx and so.
Yep.
Hi. Kristen, I'm here now by phone.
Excellent. That's what we were suggesting. That's wonderful.
Okay. Great.
So we hear you loud and clear. So you represent the applicant, correct?
That is correct. I'm not sure where you left off with what I did not hear.
Right. We were just waiting. We were just waiting for you. So who are your witnesses going to be this evening?
Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to turn off my computer now.
Yeah. So I don't have an echo.
Just bear with me one second.
No problem.
Thanks, everybody. Okay now?
Yes.
Okay,
so,
great.
Who are your witnesses today?
This evening, Wayne Ingram from Engineering and Land Planning will be testifying on behalf of the applicant, Willits Own. Of course, Adam Person, the CEO of the applicant, is here today, but Wayne will be doing giving the testimony.
Okay, and how do you spell Adam's last name?
P-E-R-S-O-N.
And since we can't see him, he's not going to be able to testify. So I'm not even going to swear him in, because unless I can see him, I can't swear him in. So I'm going to just note that in my own notes, but he's not going to. Adam, are you there?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm actually charging my laptop right now, and I believe I can get WebEx working on that. So just trying
for
to.
For now,
do that
I'm just. In my notes, I'm marking that you listened in. You're the applicant's CEO, but I am not listing you as a witness, and you're not going to be able to say anything unless and until I can see you and I can swear you in. So we're going to have Wayne Ingram sworn in. Who do we have testifying on behalf of the board? I see Tom Behrens, who's the board's planning expert, and I also see Larry Plevier. Did I pronounce your name right, Larry? Probably not.
You've never pronounced it correctly.
Yeah, I know. Give it to me like for the 15th time.
At least Plevier.
Plevier. Oh my.
Close enough.
It's not really. It's embarrassing, but I'm working on it. Trust me. So Larry Plevier is the board's engineering expert. So, and even though we're not formal, but I'm going to use first names to save myself further embarrassment. So, can Larry, Tom, and Wayne raise your right hands? Do all three of you swear or affirm the testimony you're going to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. So, Kristen, take it away.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to give a brief introduction for you, and you just correct me if I'm wrong, but this application tonight has been greatly, greatly simplified.
Yes.
The application in front of the planning board tonight is for minor site plan approval only. They're not seeking any variances tonight. They're not seeking any exceptions. If a variance or something or an exception comes up, then they're going to have to come back. And depending what type of variance, they'll either be coming back here or going back to the Board of Adjustment. But for tonight, they are seeking minor site plan approval to allow the conversion of the existing 216-square-foot accessory store within the existing butcher/meat market processing building, which is commonly known as Game Butcher. They want to convert that to a retail store as a separate principal use, which is going to go by the name of Willett's Own. And for Jackie, that's Willett's Own, O-W-N. The applicant believes that this is a permitted use for which relief is not required, meaning no variance relief is required. The remaining 2,548 square feet portion of the existing processing building will continue to operate as the butcher/meat market processing building, and the proposed retail store, again, the Willett's Own, is proposed as a combination of a meat market, specialty food store, and a convenience store. And I took that from their notice. So, Ms. Perry, is that what the application is for?
It is. I will only say, not to be nitpicky, but just for accuracy, that it's 2546 square feet, not 8, if you need that.
Okay. I thought I said 2546. If I didn't, I misspoke. It is 2,546 square feet.
Yes.
Okay. So?
Yes.
Take it
you
away.
Stole my thunder.
That's all right. You can get Mr. Ingram sworn. And qualified. He's sworn. You can get him qualified as an expert, even though, just so you know, he's testified before the board on many occasions, but just to dot the I's and cross the T's.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready? This is a little difficult without being able to see everybody, but Wayne, you give us your history with respect to your background, education, and qualifications with respect to your testimony you're giving tonight?
Sure. I am a licensed engineer and planner in the state of New Jersey. Those licenses are current and valid. I've appeared before probably about 75 boards throughout the state and probably in every municipality in Hunterdon County, including this board, though it has been a little while since I have been before the planning board.
Now, I know that you've testified as an engineering expert before this board. Have you ever testified as a planning expert before this board?
I don't recall. But I don't think we're asking for any variances at this application, so we could probably punt that anyway.
Right. So why don't we just get him sworn as your engineering expert and forget about the planning expert, because you're not going to need a planning expert on this application. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay. Mr.
Good.
Chairman, do you accept Mr. Ingram as an engineering expert?
Yeah, he's previously been in front of this board, so I don't see any issue. Does anybody see an issue on the board? Okay. We accept.
Thank you. All right. So I can, if I can share my screen. Does everybody see the plan I have there?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So this is a fairly straightforward minor site plan application, and the plan I'll be referring to is sheet 1 of 2 of the submitted plans dated 1-4-21. As Mr. Drill just mentioned, sheet 2 of the plans was related to a portion of the application, which we're not pursuing for this evening. So essentially what we're asking for is to have the previously approved accessory store, which in general location you can see here highlighted with the gray hatching in the northeast corner of the existing building, converted from an accessory store to a store which will operate as a principal use, which will be known as Willett's General Store. The use and the store will still sell the products from Game Butcher, and again, in addition to some other ancillary products, which basically described there, related, you know, sodas, chips, things like that, other prepared goods, things like that. We're not proposing to really change anything at the site except the addition of a gravel area, which you can see is located just to the northwest of the main store building. The purpose of that area is really just to provide some parking basically for employees of the store and Game Butcher on any days that they were to have special event permits issued or things like that, so they weren't taking up any spaces from customers. It would really just be kind of an overflow area for the employees to use. We have the same 9 parking stalls that were approved in the prior application. We have 2 that are located to the east of the structure and 7 that are across the parking area on the opposite side to the north. We had proposed a couple wall-mounted signs. Both were 4 feet by 3 feet. One, as you can see, located on the eastern side of this extension of the building labeled with roof. And then we had another that was going to be located above the front door of the Willett's General Store. It's my understanding from reviewing Mr. Barron's letter that that particular sign may require variance relief. So if that were the case, we would not be pursuing that at this evening.
Okay, so which of the signs were you going to withdraw from the application, just to be clear about that? It's the sign on side of the building. And just for purposes of the record, which side of the building is that?
It would be on the north-facing side, okay. Right, just above the gray highlighted area that we have as the store location.
So you're going to eliminate the sign on the north side of the building, and if the board approves the application, there'd be a condition saying no sign on the north side of the building. Is that correct?
Correct. We would also proposed to the existing 3x10 sign, which is located along Route 31, the freestanding sign. We're not seeking any variance relief for that, but just to cover our bases, we would want to just notify you for the record that we would probably reface that sign to have the new business name. Just want to make sure in case, you know, there was a waiver of site plan or anything required that to let you know that we would be doing that.
Okay, but you wouldn't be increasing the size of that sign any.
Not at all. No sign. What size change whatsoever? Just refacing of the sign as it exists today.
Okay, so I assume you would agree to a condition that would say that if you're going to reface the freestanding sign, it cannot increase in size. Is that correct?
Certainly. Correct. The main. Everything, again, about the site otherwise is going to remain the same. We're not proposing any new landscaping, lighting, no additional parking areas beyond what I've testified to. One of the primary questions in your engineer's review letter is just in regard to ADA compliance. Our proposal would be to, as was suggested, to restripe the 2 stalls adjacent to the building. And have that have the necessary ADA striping and signage. We would then just alter the 7 stalls on the opposite side of the building to add an 8th stall and just shift them over slightly where we have an existing striped area. We'll just convert that to a parking stall. I don't believe any additional relief would be required for that simply because we had all of those locations generally approved in the prior plan. It was mentioned in Mr. Barron's letter that there would be a design exception for the 2 parking spaces being located against the building. But again, those are an existing condition, not getting any closer or changing. Frankly, they'll probably actually get a foot further away since an ADA stall would be slightly narrower. So we'll maintain the 9 stalls that are currently on the site. No change in pavement or anything, you know, required to make that change. And we're certainly agreeable to, you know, all the, related, you know, requirements to provide construction details and, you know, confirm that we have an accessible route, to the building. I think that, and I think, just shifting over to Mr. Barron's letter, just to point out a few things, we're not proposing any changes to the, you know, the way that, you know, truck traffic would access the site. You know, there's really no deliveries larger than a box truck here. That's not changing with this application. So, there's really nothing, you know, circulation wise that is affected. We agree to, identify the trash enclosure, which was, requested from the prior application. We do show it on the plan. It is this rectangular box you see here just to the northeast of the building extension at the edge of the drive area. That's the existing dumpster location. We will label that as such. But other than that, there's no other changes to the site proposed. It's really just because we're breaking up the store in ownership, but it'll still be a somewhat related activity, but it will now be a principal use on the site.
Okay, just a quick question. I was under the impression that I knew that the applicant was not seeking any variance to deviate from the ordinance requirement regulating sidewalk sales. But I thought that tonight the applicant was still seeking site plan approval for parking related to the sidewalk sales, unless you're withdrawing all of that because you think you also need parking variances and you're going to deal with that whole thing later.
Correct. I think we're going to have to come back to deal with that later. If we decided, you know, at this time we would like to operate under the, you know, special permit allowance of 3 events per year for a maximum of 10 days and won't be, you know, seeking any additional, you know, site plan approval for those items.
I assume the applicant would then agree that if the board were inclined to grant the application, that a condition should be imposed saying something like the applicant shall comply with all ordinance regulations regarding sidewalk sales unless the applicant applies to and obtains from the Board of Adjustment a D1 use variance or variances to allow any deviations. Is that correct?
Great. Yes.
Okay. What else do you have?
That's essentially it. I don't think there's anything more to the application. As I said, it's fairly minimal in nature. You know, not really proposing anything that's going to affect the operation of the site.
Does any Tom or Larry, any concerns you still have based on your letters? Your reviews?
If they're withdrawing all the proposed overflow parking, that was the bulk of my comments.
Yeah, Larry, just identify yourself for Jackie. Who's speaking?
Oh, this is Larry Plevere, board engineer. If the applicant is withdrawing the overflow parking improvements or basically just an area for parking on the grass, that was the bulk of my technical comments. And just so I understand it, if you are still allowed to have 3 events up to 10 days in duration, would you still be parking on the grass?
Exactly. That's the question to ask, Larry.
So that would be our intention, would be to do that. I mean, you know, certainly, you know, if you know, we could come back to the board, but for a minimum of, you know, just 3 events a year, we don't think, you know, it's really necessary to install the gravel at this time for such limited sales over short periods of time. You know, so that would be our preference, would be to just have that, you know, in the grass if necessary.
Well, I don't think you ever proposed gravel. The area was just supposed to be parking on grass with no changes in whatsoever on contours or surface.
That's
however,
there is, yeah,
there isn't, but the code that was just recently adopted, memorialized by the township.
Are you talking about the stormwater the new stormwater management regulations you're talking about?
Correct. They mimic the requirements of the Administrative Code of New Jersey, and now they're basically regulating anything over a quarter acre of motor vehicle surface. So if we've you've got over a quarter acre of area shown on that plan. Unless you scale that plan back and reduce the amount of overflow parking that you're proposing for any sidewalk sale, I would think you're still would be subject to an interpretation, and the board would have to hear both arguments on either end. But I would think that you're falling inside the design standards for the stormwater regulations.
Because you have we do not intend to construct any stormwater management. So if, you know, if it's amenable, we'd be happy to revise the plan to show the area of parking being under the quarter acre, including the gravel area we were proposing to construct, so that we are under that limit, and revise the plans to reflect that that shrinking of the area.
So let me ask you this, though. If you take note of some drawings on the plan limiting the parking area or sidewalk sales to under a quarter acre, how does that get policed? In a somewhat similar situation, but albeit different, the Board of Adjustment didn't have the stormwater management regulation, but it was dealing with a use variance application to have outdoor parking of vehicles, not in a parking lot, meaning just outdoor parking of vehicles. It was a Denise, help me here. The resale place, and they did some painting of vehicles and this and that, and so the board took
On Route 22. I'm trying to think of it. It was Novak Motors.
Novak Motors. Thank you.
Old 75 LLC was the applicant name.
And what the Board of Adjustment did was they put a condition in the resolution that said they had to put concrete monuments at the four corners of the area. So, and the applicant had to confine itself to parking the vehicles within the delineated area with the concrete monuments. And it was also a way that the zoning officer could go around there and enforce it. So this is just, I don't know if this board is going to like that suggestion or not, but just putting a note on the plan and then having people park wherever they want to park, that doesn't sound like a good idea to me.
But John, Novak Motors does this as a integral part of their business every day. Is that not correct?
Absolutely correct. I don't know if the board likes this idea or not. I'm just saying.
Hey, John. I'm sorry. I was going to offer a suggestion. I mean, might it depend on the nature of the events that are going to occur and what they actually expect to have happen there? Right now, that plan for the westerly part of the lot shows 41 spaces in that gravel or grass area. And so maybe if we heard a little bit more about what is expected, it helps steer us in terms of what might be needed.
Well, okay.
Or not.
I'm a little confused because, you know, we started this whole thing out saying we're not going to talk about this, and now this is becoming a key piece of the whole presentation, right? And the other piece I don't understand is why is this gravel area going in?
The 900-square-foot gravel area just south of the existing stone driveway, again, that was just intended to be some additional overflow, gravel for them to, during the sales and events, have the employees could just pull off in a different area that would be, out of the way so customers wouldn't be, impacted, or there would be a few additional parking stalls on the days that they would have those special events.
But isn't that kind of like halfway parking? I mean, I'm confused that either we have enough parking spaces for the existing minor site plan or we don't. But there's kind of, it feels like to me, and I'm not the expert here, but it feels like we're trying to now have some extra quote unquote overflow because we may not have enough. And then that morphs into, now it may turn into 40 spots in the back on these days when I'm having big festivals or something.
Well, the events that we're talking about, I mean, the special permit conditions, you're allowed to have three per year for a maximum of 10 days. So, we're talking about a maximum use of 30 days a year, which is also kind of unrealistic because, even though you can run an event for 10 days, you're usually, you're not doing it, of course, the middle of 5 days of a week where you're going to have, extensive amounts of people. I mean, this is a 216 square foot retail store, so we're not anticipating that this is going to turn into, you know, the balloon fest. You know, they just wanted to be able to, you know, with nine stalls, one of which would be, you know, an ADA compliant one, you know, just make sure that there was a little bit more available. 900 square feet is, you know, the equivalent of, you know, probably four additional parking stalls, you know, on the site in those very limited, instances. The overflow area, you know, that we had proposed here was kind of an absolute maximum. And the idea of that was, you know, talking if we wanted to do more, you know, more larger events that were beyond the limit that we could get through the special permit. So it's far more than we're talking about now, than what's required if we were to do these three events. So that's why I have no objection to shrinking that area to something that's, you know, is again, you know, below the quarter acre threshold for needing stormwater management. We're also not anticipating needing all of that. Kind of the idea, though, was let's plan for, you know, over plan for the, you know, much larger thing than we would ever need just to show you that it fits and it works. You know, that's, again, an area that would never be occupied, you know, under this, you know, proposal more than 30 days a year. And, again, arguably much, much less because you would never really run those events 5 days a week in the middle of a week.
Mr. Ingram, on that special event permit, You indicated the allowances for three for a period of 10 days each. Are there any conditions to obtain the permit that you're aware of or that are stated in the code? For example, would a condition of obtaining the permit be to identify the parking area that you anticipate having to use and for the, you know, what duration you need to use it for?
That's correct. And again, the intent here was to show this now so the applicant would always have a plan that they could present to show that.
Well, Brian, just so you know, before the adoption of the stormwater regulations, this was a non-issue.
Okay.
The stormwater regulations have been adopted, which limits apparently the size. Right. So I would think that to do this right and to give guidance to the person who's going to be issuing the permit for special events, that you should have something on this plan designating the area, and then it's up to the board whether you want to end it there or whether you want to go a step further and have it marked in the field.
Can I ask, just to be clear, the stormwater regulations would require something special for more than a quarter acre of cars being parked on grass for an hour or two or three?
That's a question for Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the regulation.
Even though we're not fooling around with gravel or anything. It's just grass.
It's just grass. They've, in the past, projects would install stone and it wouldn't be considered as impervious surfaces.
Right.
So the regulations now, they have what they call motor vehicle surface, and it's any area intended for driveways or parking. So I mean, there's not. That's where the interpretation would come in, because there's nothing in the reg to say, well, it's only if you're going to park for three times a year, or is it parking every business day of the year?
Let me just mention.
Motor vehicle service.
I liken this to what happens at Bunn Park.
I was just going to say.
A big day, we park on the grass. And that happens two, three times a year, maybe, if my memory is correct. So. To me, what's good for the gander. The intent of the sidewalk sale ordinance was to make things very simple and easy. And I think, as most people know, it requires a sketch to be presented to the zoning officer. So at least to me, I think taking John's suggestion, it probably makes sense to just sketch out a 900 square foot or smaller area that would be useful for these events, you know, with the understanding at the moment, this, you know, it's intended for just simple sidewalk events, three X a year or so.
And Mr. Plavier, actually, I have a question for you. I know we've adopted the stormwater management ordinances because of the requirement to bring them into compliance with the state. I also know that the Environmental Commission wishes to evaluate them to make some updates over the course of the next year or so. Is this something that we could address in those updates so that there's some clarity?
Hmm. Yeah, we could. It could be reviewed. It could be clarified. I would just suggest we have to also consider we can't do anything that would jeopardize their the municipality's Tier A stormwater permit, which is really the driving factor on the ordinance.
Would have to be in compliance with the minimum requirements of the state.
Correct.
Right, correct.
So that would be an LOI from DEP, presumably.
Yeah, they would be. You would have to get some feedback on what their interpretation would be, and then we could craft some amendments to the code.
But until then, 900 feet and below is satisfactory.
Yeah, I mean, if the applicant's claiming this is a over-designed overflow parking area, I would think to clean it up for the application is to scale it back, get it under the threshold at this point, and remove it away from the property line. I think they were also encroaching within a 25-foot setback to the property line. Just clean it up, have the 18-foot stalls shown as 20 for head-to-head parking, and get it under the quarter acre.
Yeah, they have to eliminate all those setback deviations where they need C variances, which means I got a notice for all that and blah, blah, blah.
We have no objection. Like I said, this was far more than we need for these three events now that we've reduced our application. So we're happy to provide the additional setbacks, remove the variances, and shrink the overflow area.
Yeah, I think I have, unless the board has a problem with everything that was just said in the back and forth, I think I have enough for a condition if the board's going to be inclined to grant this application.
Okay. Is there anybody else from any comments from the board?
I do have a question if I could. That's Bill Glaser, Jackie. So the new store, if you will, is separate ownership, I think you said?
Still family owned, but separate ownership, yes.
So related party owned. And I guess that's sort of my question. This is maybe more for John Drill. I'm not sure who I'm asking. I'll ask the question. I wasn't on the board at the time, so I was reading the prior resolution from 2018, and it seemed to rely on the fact that this was a butcher operation with an associated retail sale, so it could be specified as a meat market, which is a permitted primary use. Does this now somehow change if the store is separately owned? Are we now, is the game butcher some sort of different use? Is that something that we don't care about?
It's actually a good question. I assumed, maybe incorrectly, I'll ask Mr. Ingram. I assume the game butcher is still going to be butchering and selling retail.
Yes. They'll still sell, yes.
So the way I understand it, the game butcher is still going to be a permitted use because they're still retail, and then they have this other second principal use. And in Clinton Township, you can have multiple principal uses on a lot versus, for example, Raritan Township where you can't. And zoning regulates uses, not users,
right,
not the number of tenants. So the way I look at this, it's the entire property is going to be owned by some entity.
Right.
Or more. And so it sounds like it doesn't matter if they're related by blood, by, you know, whatever, they can just be business partners. It sounds like there's going to be a lease for a portion of the property for the game butcher retail store, which specializes in game butchery products. And then there's going to be a separate lease for this Willett's Own store, which is going to sell more than just meat.
Yes.
Mr. Ingram, am I correct?
That is correct. They'll be selling the products from Game Butcher, but they'll also be selling a variety of other
But wait a minute. Is Game Butcher, though, selling anything
retail? Yes, they will still maintain the sales of their own, but the store will sell their products in addition to other products. So
why would someone walk into the store and buy Game Butcher product from Willett's Own when they can buy Game Butcher product from Game Butcher?
Again, separate family members may sell different products from the two. They're going to operate them, you know, related, but, you know, the ability to operate both. And frankly, we don't want to give a use variance, so we'll make sure that we can sell them from both areas.
Okay. Thank you.
Denise, I can't tell, but it is a public hearing. Is there anybody from the public on, or can we ask?
Yeah, we do have a few dial-ins.
Is there anybody from the public?
I tell you what, Wayne, can you take this down so we can see everybody and we'll see all the phone numbers? So we see the following phone numbers. We have a 908 number which ends in 00. We have another number that – repeat, please.
That's Kristen Perry, the attorney.
Ah, okay. We have another number that ends in a 15. I assume that is Adam Pearson.
Yes, correct.
And then we have a number that ends – yep. And then we have a number that ends in 43, which I assume is Jackie Clapp. Jackie.
Yep. Yes. Okay.
So I don't hear anybody or see anybody from the public.
Neither do I.
So, Mr. Ingram, one last question. So you are seeking site plan approval for both sheets of the plan, not just the first sheet. You're seeking site plan approval of that second sheet. It's going to be subject to the conditions that we just discussed, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
But, John, when you say the conditions, that was like the setbacks have to be adjusted, all the things we just talked about, right? There's a lot in that statement.
Yeah. Here's the rough condition that I came up with listening to everybody. Something to the effect of revise the plans to show parking for sidewalk sales in an area under 1/4 acre due to the adoption of the stormwater management ordinance. The applicant shall mark corners of this area, unless someone tells me not to do this, with concrete monuments. Now, Mr. Higgins, I know, is shaking his head no. If you guys don't want it, let's cross that sentence out. And they can be flush mounted. They don't have to be sticking up in the air so a car hits them. And then the last sentence says, the applicant shall eliminate all setback deviations applicable to this parking area. Now, can you guys discuss whether you want the corners of the area marked or not? Why don't you ask Mr. Higgins to start?
You know, our state has a marvelous way of making simple things complicated. So we don't have to do it. I would say, let's not do it. You know, they're going to comply with a three-event-per-year kind of thing. I don't want to have to put him in Bun. Or I wouldn't want to have Brian have to put him in Bun Park, for instance.
And I'm going to go next. I've parked on enough grass lots to know that parking gets wonky on grass lots, and it isn't always regular.
You know, the puddles show up at different places. So what the heck?
Yeah.
I think that just to put the other side, the concern is that this morphs into something bigger, and then, you know, there's a ton of cars. You know, I don't know. That's just the, I guess you could count cars and figure out what number of cars equates to a square footage, to some reasonable amount. I'm just thinking out of the box. You said for the zoning officer. You know,
why don't you ask Wayne Ingram, what's the typical size of a car and how many do you think would fit into a 900 square foot area?
Right. That's just math. That's like the jelly bean problem. And I know a good engineer could come up with something.
Well, the 900 square foot area where we're proposing the gravel, I mean, realistically, you know, each parking stall is 200 square feet. So we're going to fit just under five, you know, we'll fit four vehicles.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the temporary parking.
Right? Yeah, we're talking about the grass area.
So that's 9,000. I mean, we have a remainder of 9,000 square feet left. Right now our plan shows, let's see, 26.
Wayne, in other words, how many square feet are in a 1/4 acre?
That's what I was, yeah.
10,800. And we're using 900 of it in the gravel area. So we have 9,900 left.
If the applicants agree to revise the plan will reflect the amount of parking spaces. Right. And if there's an enforcement concern, you can count the amount of cars that's out there. There's 41 stalls shown on the plan. If they reduce it to an amount to get them under the quarter acre, which needs to include the aisle areas and the overflow that's going to be in for the stone, the plan will show the amount of stalls that's approved. And when they come in for their special permit, you could go back out there and count that you got 10, 12, whatever cars it may be. I think, and whether they're parked in one certain area or kind of scattered across the grass area, I think you can still enforce it.
That's where I was going, Larry.
Okay. I didn't realize that. I thought they were just going to eliminate all the stalls in the quarter acre area and just let them do whatever they want to do. But if they're going to have stalls marked on the plan, then you'll know exactly how many cars are going to fit there.
Wayne, you're going to revise the plan, correct, to show something on the plan that's going to reflect less than quarter acre of motor vehicle service?
Yes, so we're going to do that by showing you the normal aisles, the 20-foot deep stalls as you requested. Correct.
Okay, that takes care of that. Then okay.
Yeah, let's present it to the zoning official as part of the application for a sidewalk sale.
Right. So I would take out that sentence. I'm going to cross it out, and I'll put in, shall reduce the number of spaces to fit within the quarter acre area and show spaces with aisles in the quarter acre area. Boom.
And really, once they make a compliance submission and they address the comments in my report, they can address that comment by simply saying we reduced the area shown on sheet 2 of 2. So you're going to. I know, John, you usually reiterate the review comments as a condition.
Correct. I'm going to take all your comments. And I'm just going to change a couple words. Instead of asking questions, it's going to be shall do this, shall do that, shall do this, shall do that. And then you guys are going to look at the draft, and then you guys are going to correct my mistakes. You're going to clarify everything. And there should be one-stop shopping. There'll be a resolution with all the conditions right there. That's the theory anyway.
Good. Anything else?
Believe it or not, I think that's their case. Why don't we ask Kate, Kristen Perry, maybe the board forgot something.
I don't think the board forgot a thing. Thank you.
Should the 900-square-foot gravel area be shown on sheet 2? I see it on sheet 1, but I'm looking at the version that was in the box, not that Wayne showed.
Yes, sir. Yep. I mean, for that, just leave a comment page, so we'll add that. That's fine.
All right. Yeah, because then sheet 2 is the definitive sheet, kind of.
Sure.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you.
And just for the record, that is one of the comments we'll address in my report, so they'll revise that to show it.
Perfect.
So, Kevin, I assume you're... Oh, okay. Yep.
All right. Go ahead. Sorry, this is Kate. I'm relatively new here, so apologies. What are the current proposed retail new store hours, including the events, if I missed that?
Good question. They didn't say.
I don't recall what the hours are, but I believe they're going to be consistent with those of, that were previously mentioned under the prior approval. But I don't have the exact hours on top of my head, no.
So maybe I can legally answer the question. If it's a permitted use, and if the ordinance, I don't know if the ordinance has a time limitation or not, but if it's a permitted use and the ordinance does not have a time limitation, they could basically have whatever hours they want to have.
Okay. My only concern relative to parking and site safety was relative to ADA compliance. We had discussed those two stalls, and I just want to make sure that we have proper, adequate exterior lighting.
Yeah, and actually that's in Larry's report, and because they haven't raised that as an issue and they haven't applied for any variance or exception from it, if the board approves this, it's going to say the lighting ordinance shall be complied with. And as part of compliance, Larry will make sure that they comply.
Okay. As long as there's no hour variance to 3 o'clock in the morning, all good.
No,
here.
We are seeking no variance with the way to times of operation. Thank you.
Yeah, but just let's make
Thank
it clear.
You. That's all.
Let's make it clear so everyone, if there's no prohibition, the 24/7 operation, they can have 24/7 operation. It doesn't matter what Mr. Ingram says. Mm-hmm. Okay, unless it's a condition, they can do it. And unless there's some ordinance or there's some variance that somehow it has a rational nexus to hours of operation, in my opinion, the board is not allowed to impose a time limitation, especially this is on the highway. This is not like, you know, it's in a residential neighborhood or anything.
But I think it raises a good point, though, for the special events, that if that large area isn't properly lit in the evening.
Again, Brian, whatever the special event ordinance says, it says, okay? If they comply with it.
Understood.
So the game butcher's website says its hours are 9 to 7 during the week and 9 to 3 on the weekends. Just throwing that out there.
Okay. Yeah, and I think it's seasonal too, John. Right, but this will presumably be open year round. But no difference.
Okay. But again, I don't want anyone coming back, and they could change those hours tomorrow if they want. I just want everyone to go in with eyes open.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I assume you're looking for someone to make a motion to grant minor site plan approval subject to all the conditions we just discussed?
Yes, indeed. Does someone want to make that motion?
Well, people are shy tonight.
Wow, tonight's...
Lazarus moved.
Second, Glaser.
Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Semeg?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. Good night. Wait.
Night.
All right. So it doesn't look. We have communications. We have the vouchers. Denise did put them out into the box link or whatever that's called. I've looked at them, and I'm all right. Does anybody have any questions or concerns with the vouchers? If not, I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
I'm sorry, who was the second?
Thank you.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Semeg?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Boy, now we have a little time for some reports, if there are any. Council, anything?
Paper, scissors, Bill?
I defer to the mayor.
We've got the budget's coming up on the 14th. I know, well, we got Mr. Pavir on, so I can gladly report that we're well underway with going out to bid for Grey Rock Road improvements, so that'll be very nice. Recently passed an updated ordinance for our police department, and we'll be passing or bringing to the front at least some other corrections and amendments to our regular organization ordinances, as there are a lot of conflicts. So that'll be coming. And I think, Bill, is there anything else that we're missing?
A hearing on the 28th we could talk about or not? The marijuana law?
Yeah, I guess if in case we don't have a meeting between here and then, we're going to have a public hearing for a change of use at Marukian. They'll be wanting to add a disc golf course back in the woods alongside the regional road area. So if you've seen that large sign on 31, it's a roundabout. That's what that's for.
And how about Brian, the other ordinance we're considering, I think on the 28th, the prohibition of the marijuana because of the new law in New Jersey being so difficult?
That'll actually be in May.
Oh, right. Sorry. That was 2 months.
Yeah, that'll actually be in May. So, but the short and long of that one is that, and it will be important for the planning board, I think, when we get closer. The new legislation on marijuana basically opts everybody in, unless they opt out, to all the zoning permissions for three or four types of marijuana.
Five or six types.
And
I think it's six,
You have until August to opt out, and if you don't opt out by August, then you can't do it for 5 years. So the League of Municipalities has recommended that everyone opt out, because you can always opt in at any moment, and then you have more time to think about it and study it, and you're not under the gun.
I think even if you opt in for part of it, say one of the five, you'd be locked in for that for 5 years.
Correct.
So.
Huh, that's an interesting, yep.
Yeah, and it remains to be seen. And the beauty of the whole system is they've set up a regulatory body that has 180 days to make rules, but it doesn't get seated until, I don't know, what is it, April or May? So the two time periods, you don't even know what the rules are.
Right.
They don't overlap.
It's impossible.
So right. Be well in that. That'll be in May, first meeting in May. That's it for me.
Good. Anything from the ordinance subcommittee?
Yeah, I would say the two parties we're working on is, it's funny, I would say we were calling it a techno review committee, but now I'd say maybe we're looking at some sample ordinance from elsewhere, more about trying to relook at our ordinances and make a proposal on what we can do to change how when applicants need to come before the boards, that maybe we require them to come maybe too often for certain matters, so we're kind of still in discussion what those changes would be. And then I joke, it's sort of the perennial rezoning of Route 31, which is also, so it's kind of two top priorities right now that we're talking about.
Good. Thank you. Open space, anything?
I don't know that there's anybody here from open space, but they've been busy making trails. Do we have an open space person?
I don't know.
I don't think so. We can probably pull that one off, unless we have something specific. There used to be a member from the planning board who was also appointed to the open space committee, but that is no longer the case.
Huh. Did we change that, or that was just the...
I think John changed that years ago.
It's not required under the MLUA to have someone from open space. It's up to the governing body what they want to do about it.
Right. Well,
for what it's worth, I used as the chair, as the mayor, I was on open space for a long time. So maybe the agenda just got used to having that in there to talk about.
Probably.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess I am now back, or going to be back, on the environmental. I missed this last one, but again, if anybody has a real hankering, I will let them take my place. But if not,
the hook is you can't be an alternate. You have to be an actual member.
Right.
Right.
That's the downside.
That's the upside for an alternate member.
Don't everybody beat down my door.
That's the downside. If they're regular members, no one wants to do it. And then the chairman is like, talks to the board attorney, and the board attorney tells them you need someone on there.
Yeah. No problem. All right.
So are we in agreement then? Shall I remove the open space report from future agendas?
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. There's something momentous, like a land acquisition. I'll know about it, and either Bill or I will mention it.
Okay.
As part of the council report. So thanks.
Good.
Boy, no one wants to, they just want to hang out and just look at each other, huh?
I know. I can't look down at the end of the dais here and say, is there a.
Who's making the all important motion? I'll say it.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you all.
Good night, everybody, and nice meeting you, Kate Johnson.
Good night. Yep.
Welcome.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good to have you on board.
Good night.
Hey, Bill, you want to stay on?
Yeah, could we?
Yeah, please.
Who's the host? Who's going to hang up on us?
Wait a minute. I think I have to make someone else the host. Hold on.
Okay, your chance, or I was going to say I'll call John back.
Hold on. Change role.
I didn't see your message. I was doing stuff in church.
Yeah, but, you know, it ends up it was Good Friday. It was a terrible day to ask for anything.
I was up in the
air. I'm the host now. Thanks, Denise.
You're welcome. Good night, guys.
All right. Good night.
I was up in the attic pulling wires.
I assume in your own house or at the church?
At the church. Me and two other guys, mostly me, redid the network.
Right.
And it just kept going and going. And once we got the cameras all set up, I said, this is crazy. We have so much bandwidth. So I put in stuff to accommodate the parish hall and, you know, the daycare people. And by the time I got done terminating all the wires and everything else, it was really late. I didn't see your message because I didn't hear it.
Yeah, well, no problem. I mean,
I am good virtually this whole week. So pick a time that's convenient for you and I'll be there.
Let's try to hone in now. Tomorrow will not be good because I'm finally getting my vaccination. I know that.
Right, me too, Bill. Well, I'm getting my second one.
Yeah.
I'm going down to Newark, as a matter of fact.
Brave man.
Well, you know, it's NJIT. You know, what can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not like going into, yeah. I mean, it's just kind of the outskirts of,
Why do you have to go all the way to Newark?
It's where I can get an appointment, John. So, yeah.
Are you driving or are you taking the train?
I'm driving, of course.
Okay, I was saying you could take the train. That's right.
I could take the train, but, you know, it's easy enough to drive it. You know, the train is actually a pain in the neck. They don't run that often when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I'd have to go God knows what time in the morning for my 12:45 appointment or whatever time it is.
Well, then you got to get from Penn Station to High Street.
That's the
Yeah,
the
exactly. Rail. So I'll just drive, go down off of 280.
It's the light rail. It's easy. It's like two stops on the light rail, three stops on the light rail.
Really? Well. Yeah. I'll look at it, John. You might have me.
No, that's all right. Just drive. I was just.
Well, there's no side effects from them. I'm not worried about driving home, am I?
Well, is it the first one or the second one you're getting?
First one.
Oh, yeah. The second one is, I'm getting my second one tomorrow. And, the second one supposedly is there's sometimes people get sick.
Yeah. Which kind are you getting?
The two-shot one. I think it's the Pfizer. No, what's the three-week one?
I got Moderna, which was...
Four.
I also got Moderna, John. Yeah,
second one, my arm was a little sore than usual, but that was it.
Yeah. It's whichever one's the three-week one, because I do remember the time I put on my calendar for both the Tuesdays.
I think it's Pfizer, and Susie and Katie got Pfizer, and they weren't bad.
I think Pfizer's 3 week. Yeah. Well, it's.
Yeah. I mean, Moderna's more like four or five, right? I think that's what
I thought it was like five, maybe even six, but it was a long duration.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. Cause that's what I got mine over a month ago and I'm getting my second one tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, I logged back in. Are we supposed to meet about 31 or what? Or is that what, I don't know if that was what you're talking about or not. I know this is a quorum, so we probably shouldn't make this too long here. I'm sorry, but
right.
No, it's not. It's only three of us, right? Okay, it's not a quorum.
Right.
Okay.
Are
you on the ordinance committee?
I thought they put me on at last meeting to talk about Route 31 rezoning.
All right. Good, good, good. Well, how would I say this? We're pretty far along on, basically, the idea, I think, as Bill said, was to avoid coming to the board for minor stuff. Like Wayne's company had to come to the board to put some siding on their building, for heaven's sakes. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Cranberry has a provision that seems pretty attractive. And John Drill had also advanced, God help me, it was North Jersey, Bill. Was it Ridgefield?
It was Ridgefield. Ridgefield. Okay. Yep.
So Ridgefield and Cranberry, you know, they're their ordinances are good language that we want to adopt or something similar to that? Or
well, Cranberry, I think, was the one we kind of looked to. It was one Triscuit actually drafted, we think. And that one, John, was more kind of saying, don't ever come except for these items. And I think our question was sort of, we needed to think through, are those the right items for us? Is there other stuff we might want people to come? Or are there some we'd say, no, we don't want to see that. So it's kind of, in a sense, I'd say it's like flipping our approach on its head, which may be long overdue. Because you know, right now we say, basically come for everything and we'll let you off the hook occasionally. I think we're kind of flipping that whole model saying, don't come unless it's these, I forget how many items it was, John. I'd have to look at the cranberry one, like six or seven.
Somebody, Bill or John, can somebody email me the cranberry link and I'll take a look.
Yeah, I'll get it someplace. I know I have it. I just have to find it, John.
I mean, I've been so derelict. I have it right here, so I'll send it to him.
Oh, perfect. Good. Yeah.
And then on 31, the big question is, are you going to zone for what you want in the future, or are we going to continue to have these little bitty zones?
Be a dog's dinner, a dog's breakfast, right?
Right. Yeah. And there are a lot of zones.
No, I know. I have the map in front of me right now. It is a mess. Yeah, I agree.
Right.
And why would we not, for instance, we thought we would eventually get Tom Burns involved to give us some professional advice. But the question I guess I would have, and I tend to simplify things too much maybe, but why wouldn't we use Route 22 as a model, at least for a good portion of Route 31?
That's where I am.
Yeah, the whole CROM thing, the whole CROM thing.
The CROM. I mean, there might be a few areas we just kind of exclude out, but I think it's kind of at the fringes, like maybe up by Echo Lane or something like that.
I thought we were mostly talking about south of Exxon, right?
We decided we need to talk about the whole thing, actually.
Okay. So it's.
I think I talked about bifurcating it, but I think that was sort of a little bit wrongheaded of me because I think it's a more comprehensive discussion to some degree. And also, I think the zoning issues are sort of the same.
Yeah. And north of 31, it's there's a real a good chance for simplification, I think.
Yeah.
And that's likely where, I mean, just the fact that we're in Highlands.
That's what I'm saying. North of Highlands, you run into the Highlands Preservation, and then it's also the big chunk of it is Town of Clinton and then north of 78, I'm sorry. That's
Yeah, right. North of 78, you've got the stretch really from the river north. And that's where first of all, there are utilities. Mm-hmm. And second of all, I know, for instance, we're looking at a redevelopment possibility behind Finagle's.
Right.
If we ever have a little bit of extra surge, that's logically where we would probably put in a Highland Center extending from Beaver Avenue from the village.
Yeah, kind of pulling it down almost.
Yeah, so that's probably where we would see, and I would guess maybe like to see fairly dense development, capture the northbound traffic to Warren County, for instance.
Did we actually get that Highland Center approved, John, for Annandale Village?
No, Tom issued a draft just as a stalking horse, and of course it was promptly rejected.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was that expected, though?
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
no harm, no foul. It was just we started going along those lines, but then the folks over at Headley Farm, which is was the primary driver, the folks at Headley Farm have been strangely quiet.
Hmm.
They're in a time frame when you might actually build a fancy houses on 5 acres up there, and it's previously approved, so they'd be able to put in septic. So, I mean,
what happens to our affordable housing plan?
That gets deferred.
Yeah, I guess.
You'd have to find somebody else that would build 104 units on an inclusionary basis.
Yeah.
And that's highly unlikely.
Right.
So, but like I said, they could have just said, wait a minute, the floodgates are open, inventory's down to nothing, let's put up big houses. I mean, if there ever was a time, and they could have done that at the top of – at Highview, up at the top of Cubs Ferry Road, too.
You know, funny enough, John, I was driving down East Main Street like last weekend or something. It might have been after I saw you and Susie, as a matter of fact. Uh-huh. Or maybe it was another time. There were some trucks on that. You know that improved road they've done at Headley Farms? I'm like, what are those guys doing there?
We were walking the dogs, and I, yeah, it was a, like a Eager Beaver trailer and a dump truck.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I was looking at them, and I thought maybe they're towing a tractor to start planting or something. I don't know.
Which would have been interesting if they had.
Because they do plant, you know, they plant at least hay up there, maybe something else.
Right, right.
But no, I think we could, I think we're probably one good discussion away from recommending something to the planning board on, of, you know, staying away from the planning board. And then probably engage in more of a substantive discussion, maybe with Tom Burns. Perhaps we do that. You know, we used to try to gang it up just before a planning board meeting, but since nobody has to travel, I don't know if there's really a point in delaying too much.
Right.
John, you're still working where you've got some free time to, you know, during normal business hours during the week?
Yeah, I'm 5 to 1:30 in Flemington, so. Okay. I'm usually home by 2:30, you know, 3 o'clock.
Oh, right. Well, maybe one afternoon then could work because, you know, it's sort of funny. I think the 31 discussion is sort of going through zone by zone and saying, well, do we care if it's OB1? No. It's just some areas are weirder than others.
Yeah. Right?
And there's some we wouldn't change, like that little stretch around Allerton, the VR, that village.
The Hoffman Road is the
yeah, the Hoffman Road. So yeah. Some areas we just kind of leave alone, but those are the little ones we don't look at. There's just a lot for sale on 31. And yeah, my impression, John, and I might be wrong, would be some of the bigger lots available are up north of 31, actually. The whole Sherrod's row of properties.
Right.
The Arts resale property was sold. God knows what they're going to do with it, but now there's a parcel for sale next to it again, I think. The one right north of that is for sale now, right by the funeral home.
I can give you the details on that. That's a woman who wanted to put up a small shopping mall.
Ugh.
And,
well, let's just put pot up there.
I should share that with you guys. I share it with Brian. I feel the development question still.
Sure.
So, this inquiry came through Mark Salek, very enthusiastic woman.
Hmm.
And of course I had to say, well, it's, you know, it's 5 acres plus or minus.
Yeah.
And it's too small for septic.
As unless she combined it with another lot, right? She'd have to buy property next door or something.
No.
Even then.
And it was approved for a warehouse. I mean, a storage facility of some sort. It's got to be 10 years ago and everything has lapsed.
Damn. Oh, I was going to say, but that's lapsed. We didn't let that live forever. Okay.
And, the tie-in, there's two places to tie in. The lift station for, what is that?
Well, Water's Edge?
County. It's, Water's Edge.
Water's Edge, yeah.
That's on the north side of their driveway.
Right.
So you'd have to pump it up there, which doesn't seem practical, or you'd have to engineer an expensive tie-in to the force main, which also, according to engineers that have looked at Sherrod's repeatedly, that's not easy. So I just, I gave Mark the information and said, look, these are our comments. I mean, I don't think we have any issues with some sort of commercial thing there, but and it'd be nice to have some more opportunities for the town, but the woman should really go into this with her eyes open and get an engineer's opinion as to how practical it would be to do anything there since it's just virgin lot.
Yeah. So on that point, John, it kind of becomes interesting. I mean, if we did the CROM zone, let's say along there as a straw man, let's say, is the area really developable, though? I mean, is there really a good use for it?
Yeah, if you'd have – I'm not a builder. I mean, I was the project executive, but I didn't do all the detailed numbers and all for stuff.
Right.
But remember, you can buy sewage. You can get it for $65 a gallon.
So, got it, yeah.
Low use, I hate to say it, a lot of storage building or a
yeah.
flex space or – light industrial, yes.
You could do it, yeah.
The plumbing place up there, that's kind of hidden. Crazy build out. It's hidden all the way in the back. It's north of Marianne's Corner by 2-3 lots. I can't remember the name now.
I know which one you mean. It's it's a funny lot.
500 feet back from the highway.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm looking at the map right now. The lot, it's like a weird flag lot. It goes right out. I forgot about that place. Yeah.
And they sell to the trade, really. Russ Giulio at Exxon, besides being a lawyer and everything else, he's a master plumber. So I used to say, John, if you need anything big, let me know, because I get 35-40% off.
Right.
There's potential for things like that. I mean,
yeah,
that's basically a warehouse with a small retail in the front. You probably need you need just enough land to put a residential septic unit in.
Got it. Yeah. And so some of the smaller lots are tougher then, unless you buy sewage.
A 5-acre lot, you got to be on sewage, and then it's how do you make the hookup? So I think we're in a relatively good spot in that there's 30,000 gallons, give or take, depending on who you talk to, for sale.
Yeah.
And
I'll say something crazy to you, John. This is an insane suggestion, but I'm going to say it anyways to you guys. What if the federal infrastructure money we could get from the American Recovery Act could be used for improving sewage?
When it can be, but I don't know what that means, whether that's just fixing leaky lines.
Exactly.
Or acquiring capacity to foster development.
Right. So or just making these lines easier to attach or something. Because if it's acquiring stuff, boy, I want to acquire a lot for affordable housing, but that's a different conversation.
Well, that's actually, when you started down this line, I thought, wait a minute, could you use it to buy sewage? Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, this is where waiting on the regulations. It's so hard. You can't plan because no one knows what Treasury is going to do.
Right. But that, having said that, the moment you bought the sewage, the guys from Alton Place would want it.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking more, could we, I don't know if this is even, we would ever do this. Would the township, I guess it'd be the sewage authority, unfortunately, invest in the infrastructure on 31 to make those lots a little more, like make them more connectable, if you will. Well, so we wouldn't give the sewage, we'd give them the connection maybe.
Well, for instance, you could have, I'm sure, you could have gravity flow from selected lots to a single lift station.
Got it.
The sewage authority owns lift stations all over the place. So you can pay for a lift station to tie into the crusher main to service X number of lots. And that would be a good thing to put into Brian's head.
Yeah.
That would facilitate development of lots that are currently really difficult to develop.
Right, right.
And then the individuals, having done that, the individuals could elect to purchase sewage.
Yeah.
And as long as they were willing to pay the price and those jabonis at Alton Place weren't, well, too bad.
And I mean, in my mind, if we could do that, you know, but like five ifs later, but if the money's available, we could do that. If it makes the lots more developable, then maybe we can get some ratables out of it in the future.
Correct.
The worry is some of these little lots like that dilapidated little lot by the Acura dealer. Every time I drive by, it drives me crazy. Oh, wow. That eyesore. It goes way back to the river, but I'm not convinced much of it's developable at all.
I do think probably there's a probability some of those lots will get to go.
Yeah.
Relatively soon.
Right. But, and the health center probably has their own septic. Are they tied into sewage?
They are. There's a mound as you drive in. It's on the left, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Yeah.
Bob, what's his name for the Hunter Medical, used to beat me about that every time.
Bob Weiss or whatever his name was?
He was fairly pissed at the township for, and way before I got involved with anything.
Right.
That he had to put in septic. That's a big facility and that's a big septic system.
Yeah. If we were to start spending taxpayer money, if it was available on sewage connections, do you think the Alton Place guys would chase us to have to do stuff for them, or their problem is capacity, not connection?
Their problem is exclusively capacity. They have,
because they're in the zone.
Well, they're
the sewers on two sides of the property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right there at the curb.
Yeah.
But I can give you a little fun update on that if you want. They have been in, we have these little sunrise sermons every 2 weeks at 8 o'clock with those people. And Walter Wilson keeps saying that they're ready to go. They're ready to go. You know, they should get, we should somehow convey sewage to them because they could build tomorrow. So I finally got tired of listening to them and I had to say, Walter, and you keep telling us that Marukian, that can't, nothing could get built because they're not in the service area, yada, yada, yada. Right. And you can't build until, you know, the new wastewater management plan is adopted. So finally, I actually sat down and thought about things for a while. And we looked at the current service area, which includes Marukian. It's on the same basis, on the same level as their parcel.
And on the same level.
Yeah, they're both in the, there's a fundamental, and this might actually be, this will be good from a development and zoning perspective as background. The current sewer service area is a big blob, which includes most of the township. It includes many lots that are not currently served by sewer. Alton Place, the one house there, is not on sewer. It's on septic. So it's no better than Marukia.
Yeah.
In that regard, it's not connected. So, and it was drawn that way because DEP in those days did not want individual amendments adding lots to the service area. So it's a big blob.
Got it.
That got irritated at these guys, so I just decided I had to study and understand it, which I should have done as mayor probably. So anyway, the current lot, they're equivalent. And then just to be sure, I had Kathy Marcelli, after she retired, she's got enough to do this, go all the way back to DEP and say, is the IMAP as shown, as drawn, accurate for Clinton Township? They assured her that it was. Mm-hmm. So, and then I asked Kathy, so if we applied today, we could hook up, right? And she said, yes.
Because it's in the area we're allowed to hook up.
If we're in the current service area, technically we could hook up.
Right.
However, she forgot.
No.
She knew there was no DEP prohibition, but when we opted into Highlands, both of these, and this is what I had forgotten because it's 3 years old, both of these would require the sewer main to be extended, technically.
Mm-hmm.
So, so either way, Walter's screwed because they're not able to say they're a better site than Marukian and somehow claim that, or for that matter, LeCompte, as I'll explain. What happened is when we went into Highlands, well, the service area didn't make any difference because maybe it's there, but Highlands had to approve any new hookups.
Oh, any new hookup, period.
Right. So if you weren't served, it was a sewer line extension. So, and I've been trying to track down Corey to make sure he agrees precisely with this, but I believe it's correct. So therefore, once we opted into Highlands, he's in the same boat everybody else is. If he wants to get that parcel hooked up, he better pray. He kept telling the special master that, oh, they haven't even published it. It's behind everything. It's going to be years before you guys get that wastewater management plan approved and get Marukian going. But we knew that a certain lawyer has been beating on a DEP section heads, and the plan is now on the desk of the reviewer. We're just waiting for a publication date at this point for the register. So what I had the pleasure of telling him at the last meeting was, first of all, Walter, you got to understand, Marukian's in the sewer service area just like your lot is.
And he didn't know that. Way.
No, he didn't. He thought we were not. So
yeah.
Then I said, but, you know, it's really irrelevant because since we opted into Highlands in 2015, the DEP sewer service area doesn't count. It's a sewer service extension now that we're talking about Highlands. And you need a map adjustment or a Highlands center. So I suggest you really look at the rules because you better pray that wastewater management plan gets adopted because out of courtesy, when we amend that plan to include LeCompte and Marukian, will very kindly comp you on an amendment to include your lot.
Kind of have to for housing.
If you look at the new filing, It shows us as, I didn't tell him this, but it shows us as future service ads, shows him on septic.
Oh, so, it does?
Yes, it does. If you look at the maps, if you don't have the maps, I'll send them to you. It's fun.
Yeah. I mean, but wouldn't the Highlands want to encourage people to go on sewage versus septic, given their...
What they don't want to, of course, in a certain way, but they don't want to extend... They don't want to extend development because that then yields impervious.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So it's like a, so if it's an existing home converting from existing septic to sewage, that's actually easier than new development.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the ethos is you want as much percolation as you can. Development inhibits that. But at the same time, they realize you need some development. So that's why they have Highland centers.
Right. Especially when it's affordable housing where it's going to be mandated someday.
So in 2025, when the fourth round comes along, the town's going to have to make a choice. Do we sponsor any 100% municipally sponsored ones? In which case, we're on the hook. We have to make it happen, one. And two, it costs us if we don't get the financing. Right. We basically say, hey, developer, have at it. Hope you can find the sewage.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in theory, in the infrastructure bill winding its way through the mess we call Washington, there's hundreds of millions of dollars for affordable housing. Unclear whether that's our kind of affordable housing or more really low-income housing for Newark, New York, and areas like that.
I read Section 8, and I just –
That was what I thought I read, too, unfortunately.
I get the post-digital, and they're pretty good about describing that stuff, and at least that was their focus. So,
yeah.
Well – So anyways, so that's where Alton Place is. I guess I don't see them advancing. They need 40,000 gallons of sewage and they're not willing to buy anything.
And, how do they expect to get it then?
They were hoping to take, it gets even better. Walter Wilson. Well, I don't see anybody else on, so he's a lying piece of shit, but he's also stupid.
This is your fellow church member you're talking about here, you know.
I haven't seen him in church in a long time. but he, it was wonderful. He's as dumb as a rock. He kept trying to induce us to pay him some money, and then they would dedicate both of their apartment buildings for 100% affordable. And they would add another building if we wanted. I kept thinking, why would they do that? And of course, they Drill put them in a corner. They named a price, which is crazy. But it was, first of all, if they got any cash, they'd sue us somehow. They don't have enough money to really make a lot of money.
We financed their litigation.
But they believed that they finally got kind of over Marukian, but then they were chasing after LeCompte. And I'm thinking, we've only got 20,000 gallons for LeCompte, 21.5 or something. Mm. And
because the township has that capacity already. We bought that capacity, right?
Yes, we bought we spent $500,000 with Ben Brook, and then we got the rest free. But they believed when we bought. Chuck Irvin threatened to sue us, complained about stuff. So we paid $15 a gallon for 23 gallons and change. They believe that we bought 23,000 gallons from Irvin, and then we had the 20,000 gallons for LeCompte. So they thought we had 40,000 gallons of sewage in their pocket. Till finally one day, I also had the pleasure of saying, Walter, that was a buyout. We had a complaint. We settled it with $15 a gallon. We don't own any 40,000 gallons. We own 20. I provided the special master with a detail down to the gallon spreadsheet of here's what we got. Here's where it has all gone. Here's where it will go. And we have 1,200 gallons left over.
Right. So but now, also, why would the township just give Walter capacity if it's the market value $65 a gallon? I mean, that's crazy.
Remember, we bought 5,000 at 65 a gallon, for 75 a gallon. That was $500,000.
Right.
And then we got 14,000 gallons free. we jumped in front of them at CTSA and grabbed the last gallon.
Oh.
And then, do you know the pharmacy thing where you, what was it, QF? I forgot the Latin phrase, but it's you QI or QF to 100 mils. So you put everything together and then you add water to bring it to 100 mils. Mm-hmm. So we basically added cash with Benbrook to bring up what we needed to do the comp. And Walter thought, in addition to that, the $15 times 23,000 gallons with Urban, that was new gallons. So he thought we were sitting on 43,000 gallons.
Yeah.
So he kept trying to assassinate LeCompte. Nope, don't have control of the property. It'll take years with condemnation. And then he's finally realized that we don't have what he needs.
Right.
And you can ask Brian or Carly. He filed an OPRA that's going to be 2 pounds of – He wants us to prove that we don't have it.
Oh God.
He wants the federal lawsuit. He wants this. He wants that. So I.
Oprah requests her chief to file, I guess. Lawsuits are expensive if he wants to go after that.
Yeah, they threatened, but he was alleging that he had a really high priced law firm that sees money in this and they're going to come after us. And of course, John Drill looked him in the eye and said, Walter, I love prerogative writs. I put both of my boys through very expensive private schools on the money I made on those suits. So please don't hesitate. So anyway, that's kind of where Alton Place is. We have another meeting. Maybe it's this Thursday or it's the Thursday, 2 weeks after our council meeting. I'm sorry. Thursday, 1 week after our council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We pushed it out so you would do something at council Clinton would do something at their council and we'd have a little more to talk about.
Got it. Yeah.
Since their council now is lining up with ours on Wednesday nights.
To change the subject, rapidly. I heard Crocodilus is complaining about something in Lebanon Borough. What's this going on?
Yeah.
There's two parcels between, my old Merck building and the bank, hotel.
Right.
They were owned by Bellmead. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Bellmead is still extant or not. I think they still have a post office box address up there in, up by Caldwell. Anyway, they are completely graded and ready to build on. They used all the environmental permits. They did everything before the permits expired and things got more difficult. And there's been talk for probably 3 years of, it looked like, I don't know what you call it, this sort of gradual aging residential housing, where, you know, you start out with a nice big apartment or maybe.
Yeah, independent to assisted to.
Yeah.
There is a word for that.
They take care of you until you die.
Right, right.
But apparently, that has morphed into a project for 280 units, 20% affordable,
right,
on these two parcels, and I think 4 stories tall. Lebanon may have heard the first; they may have had the first hearing, Bill. I'm not sure.
I think it's coming up. Okay. I don't know this happened. It might be this week, as a matter of fact. I have to look at the dates again.
Did Presidential Palace just do their prior round obligation? What did they get out of that? I mean,
it was the prior round. Pizzo and Pizzo was the law firm behind that.
So, this is for their future obligation or their current?
I think it's the third round, John.
Third round? Okay.
Because Lebanon had never done, they thought there was nothing.
They thought they were built out. They thought they were. And then they jam Presidential Palace next to the highway. There. all right.
And I guess they thought, well, you know, Bellmead was into the, you know, the office buildings. They weren't going to build residential, Herm Simons and that bunch. And these guys, office buildings are dead. So I guess the intention now is residential makes some sense. And, by the way, before I forget, the state approved last week the kiddies from Lebanon Borough not going to our schools but switching over to Clinton.
The Seventh-day Adventists
just keeps giving, kind of like AIDS.
Yeah.
Wait, so the Lebanon Borough kids are going to go to a town of Clinton for K-3?
They are, for middle school.
Oh, for 7th and 8th.
Yeah, 7th and 8th, yeah. But it's actually, if I remember, it's a little bit gradual. I think the kids now in 7th grade can finish their 8th grade. It's not a cliff, but it's a pretty quick decline.
2 years. The current 7th grade will have 8th grade over there.
Right.
And then the following 7th grade will have 8th, and then, you know, you've got everybody there.
I mean, I remember when this was happening. I was amazed that the town of Clinton wants to charge tuition that was lower than the township schools. And they were going to – I don't know if they still did this. They were going to guarantee the tuition for a few years. I'm like, how can you do that? How can you prejudge a budget?
It's literally – I don't know what the – I know, John, you were on the school board for a year. But I went to Round Valley, and every year when you go from 6th grade to 7th grade, Round Valley used to be the middle school before CTMS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Literally your grade would get bigger by like 10 or 12 kids. And that was Lebanon Borough kids. And so I don't know, literally I think they're K through six, Lebanon Borough, they have one class per grade.
Yeah.
And if any class is bigger than like 15 kids, I think that's the tuition dollars for just for two grades a kid, you're talking about like, you know, whatever the tuition is times 30.
It's, it's like $16,000 per kid, if I remember from memory.
The classes are, it's not that many kids. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, but it's still a blow to the township's, the board's budget, because they're not going to get rid of any teachers and stuff because of this. They just have revenue.
No, I think it's just another thing of Lebanon, for some reason, Lebanon Borough doesn't trust us with anything, and we can't work with them on anything, even though they're a donut hole. I mean, you know, we used to do their building department. I mean, like, there's like this mindset in Lebanon Borough where they want to do anything with Clinton Township, even though, you know, we surround them and they're not going anywhere.
I can tell you, when I was building the building over there for Merck, I didn't know Mike Wright, but I certainly heard a lot about him.
they hate Mike Wright in Lebanon Borough.
I talked to the CM that were building for us, the REIT, and I said, look, do you want me to go to DCA? I'll go down to Trenton with couple of attorneys and complain. So they didn't care. I was certainly ready to go to Trenton because we had no lease overhang and I needed to occupy the building.
Right.
So, and we got delayed because of the lawsuit with the Windy Acres people. Anyway, with this one, John, it is entirely Meredith Grant and the way the Board of Ed treated them. I read there was a long, it may still be on the Lebanon Borough Board of Ed site. There's a lot of testimony, a very long discourse about how rudely they were treated, non-responsive, and it had Maria Grant stamped, signed, sealed, whatever. She treated them as bad as she treated us.
No, that's been my opinion for a decade or more Mike Wright was one of the reasons why the township could never work with the borough on anything. And then after that blew up. And then, there was always talk of, you know, maybe them buying police from us or whatever like that, you know, and then things like that would never materialize just because the borough just doesn't trust the township. And then anything with going on with the schools that was the one thing that had been in place for decades that at least presumably worked for them. And now they're switching to town of Clinton. So yeah, I agree. Yeah.
There aren't a lot of kids. They claim a $600,000 savings. It was a newspaper article. So they didn't say the number of years required to achieve that.
I was going to say, yeah, how many years is that? Yeah.
I mean, but if I remember, the numbers were, I remember at the time sort of like we were at 16. I think Donna Clinton only wanted like 12,000 kids. So it's like, you know, $4,000 per kid times how many years? You're right. I don't know how long the commitment was, but it was, you know, small town. The money adds up, I suppose.
Well, I don't know, like if they have fewer Glenn Gardner kids or fewer of their own kids because of demographics or whatever. But I mean, they only have that one little building too. So
they have room they have room for the kids because their enrollment was down a little bit too.
I know. I'm sure in Glenn Gardner's, I'm sure they're getting fewer kids from Glenn Gardner. But I mean,
that's a dying town.
Well, exactly. But the issue is, like I said, is that, you know, the town of Clinton only has that one small building for however, I don't know how many kids they have, you know, but that one building for K through eight. So, I mean, that's it, you know.
You have to read their affordable housing plan to see it or get the demographic, but I know the county, the average age has been increasing very significantly. Last I looked, we were 40, 45 or so in rising.
We're the oldest county. We're the oldest county in New Jersey by median.
Really?
Yes.
So I would tell you anecdotally, though, the families moving in here recently as we've sold have been younger families, a few with kids.
Is that
just recently, where it had been skewing older for many years?
Is that post-pandemic? Because, I mean, I think that's the last year then. I mean, because I think that I think the millennials generally, you know, wanted to be in Hoboken, and now they're a little older, and now you have the pandemic, and now they want to be out here. So I think maybe that bodes well for future school enrollment. I know, like I said, that's why the North budget got whacked.
Yeah.
Because the enrollment has dropped over the last several years. But I mean, the North budget got whacked to the tune of, you know, half a million, right? You know, so.
Yeah. 600 grand or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know at least, I don't know about the rest of the town, but in our neighborhood, people are cashing out. I mean, houses go up for sale and they are sold.
Oh, but John, the prices here have gone through the roof too. I mean, people are asking outrageous money, and I guess getting it, which is shocking to me.
And the people that are selling almost uniformly are, you know, not our age. They're younger, but still they're going to be in their 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. The ones that I know.
And where are they moving to? Out of state, do you think? Are they leaving New Jersey completely or downsizing around here?
I would think at least going over to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, which there's a lot of tax. I did laugh back to Nick, though. So he was harping on the presidential tower, which along 70, which I agree looks terrible. But I think that other development in Lebanon is actually even worse. That one up on the hill,
it's the Heights of Lebanon.
By the reservoir?
It's a hellhole.
Yeah. Behind the cheese company, John.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how they ever approved that damn thing. The roads are there. If I was the fire department, I don't know why they would have. It's crazy.
Would you be surprised if I were to tell you there are a lot of domestics up there?
Oh, interesting.
It's I don't know the pricing or anything, but
that the state police has to respond to?
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, just yakking with some of our cops. It's maybe there's a lot of rentals and maybe some fairly short-term rentals. I know Jennifer Horsey was on our open space thing, and She and her partner had a total rehab of their house on the dirt road off of Cokesbury. I'll forget the name.
I know which one you mean, though.
Yeah. So they moved out. They ran it there for 6 months, and it wasn't too pleasant a place to live from what they told me, besides everything else.
Yeah.
But it is really, like you said, it a lot of rain. It might slide down the cliff.
It's what an awful development. I mean, I can't think of a redeeming feature. I mean,
might have a nice view.
Maybe get a view of the reservoir. I don't know.
I guess they're lucky they're redoing the dams of the reservoir so they don't wash away. I don't know.
I think they're pretty high.
Yeah, they are up pretty high.
Bill, how many signatures did you wind up with altogether?
I have like 44, I think.
Okay.
44, 42, something like that. Yeah.
And did you talk to Carla? I guess we can find
you. I did. Well, as of 10 to 4, she had no unexpected petitions. It was just me, Tom, and Mark.
Okay.
Is today the end?
Today was the day, 4 o'clock.
It was the due
date,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, she had not – no one had requested petitions from her specifically, nor had anyone from Mary, but they could have gone online in theory and gotten them. But unless something slipped in right under the wire, I don't think anyone –
Well, I'm sure you're fine then, yeah. So.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised. I thought they'd file somewhere, but
and whatever. Do you know if you have no Democrats filed either? Or
No Democrats filed, no.
Okay.
No one filed, except the three of us, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, all right.
Yeah, they don't have Trump, you know, making everybody.
No, you're right. Trump was the glue that
I think they're pushing the county stuff, as a matter of fact. I think they're going to save their – I think they're going after Sue and everyone else. It's funny.
Yeah.
When I was getting my signatures, I actually ran into a lot of people, registered Republicans. I would say 10% of the people I approached wouldn't sign because they're like, you know what? So three people signed because it was me, but they generally won't sign anything Republican. Other people just said, you know what? I might still be registered. I don't feel like a Republican. I can't support what's going on. I'm sorry. And a few people named Trump, of course. A couple people named Sue Soloway, which surprised me. They were very attuned to that as an issue.
Yeah.
She's our Marjorie Taylor Greene, Sue Soloway.
Oh, God. But you know, that's 10% of the people I talk to for my little like microcosm. Well,
John, I sent Bill over to my parents' house, and without realizing,
I didn't even count them.
my parents left the Republican Party like a month ago. I didn't even know about it. They told me they were thinking about it, and then I sent Bill over there to get two signatures, and they had already left. And I'm like, okay, you know, good. So,
but you know what? Your mom was great, John, because she goes. You know, I'm not, can I sign this? I'm not a Republican anymore. I said, oh, no, you can't. I should have asked that question. I'm so sorry. She goes, yeah, we just left. We had a long chat about it. But they actually have done the leaving, John. All these other people I talked about are basically Republicans in name only at this point.
Well, they're the undervote.
Yeah.
I mean,
100%, John, you're right.
We all saw 10, 13% undervote.
Yep. And I don't know if we regain those people. Locally, we might, but they weren't ready to go there yet.
I know, like I said, for a couple of years, the Hunterdon County Democratic Party was in that mindset where they wanted at least, they're tired of having no petition filed up and down the ballot, and they wanted at least a name on the ballot for November. But they really, like, I guess it was Bill's point or John's point, I'm sorry. I think they're going to have that at the county level. And then, 100%. Some of these towns, I'm telling you, my friend is a Democratic councilman in Flemington Borough. Flemington Borough is very much a purple town. It's very competitive between the two parties every cycle. Town of Clinton, right? I mean, so the smaller, I mean, like I said, it's still a tough road to hoe in Clinton Township, Reddington, and Raritan Township. But in the smaller towns, the boroughs, I mean, those are very much purple two-party towns, you know? So that's going to be, you know, Hunterdon County politics going forward. It's hopeless countywide, I think. And then it's hopeless in the larger suburban, geographically large communities, and then where the competition is in the small towns. But you know, those races can be decided by, you know, 10, 12 votes, you know, 15 votes, you know, because there's only a few hundred people even voting in them, you know, but whatever.
What was the last one in Clinton? Was what, 6 votes or something?
I know. That's
Nick Bruto lost on 6 or 3. Yeah. It was a really low number. I felt bad for the guy. I thought he was really good. Yeah, I think they're going to go after Sue and Mary Melfi. They're going after both. It was a former committee woman in Lambertville was the Democrat, and I forget her name now. Wasn't a name I knew. I just saw that she was putting in a petition.
At least Probably Melfi. At least Melfi is competent and does a good job. Whereas Sue Soloway is just I still understand how she got ascended to Freeholder. She was a Franklin committee person for like ten minutes, not like one term.
Well, she was never even mayor of Franklin.
She was mayor, but they're like Raritan and Reddington. They rotate the mayor among the council people. They don't elect an independent mayor like we do. We're the only large town in Hunterdon that does that. So Franklin rotates the mayor. So I think she had maybe 1 year as the mayor, and then they made her a freeholder. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, it was the same thing with Donna Simon. I mean, they were, you know, she was a committee woman in Reddington for 10 minutes and they made her an assembly person. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
That was amazing. That was so fast up and so fast down.
No, at least like Sean Van Doren, he was a councilman for 20 years and he was mayor several times in Tewksbury before he became freeholder.
I mean, he's been everything in Tewksbury.
That's what I mean.
Exactly.
Right.
That's a lot of experience.
Right. Yeah. Sue Soloway was the opposite. Sue Soloway was a committee person for 10 minutes and they made her a freeholder. So
I would tell you that, at least, one dear friend who's on the committee in Union Township has not a very good opinion of her. Hmm. So Franklin Township, rather.
Really?
And, I think she's a moron.
And he's a very kind person. He just said, you know, she's just out for herself. That's all.
So how did she end up there? They wanted a woman Republican and she was the one who raised her hand?
I think she was a Trumpista. She was just a Trumpista who was right place, right time. And the party said, okay.
You know, she may lose that seat for the Republicans this time, I'm afraid. It depends. The last guy the Democrats put up for the county commissioner, he was a boob. He was terrible. If it's him again, then she's probably nothing to worry about. All he did on Facebook, his position was, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Never said what he stood for. He was just a lot of places checking
but
in.
The governor's race is going to drive turnout. I think Cittarelli is going to – I don't know. I think Cittarelli can do better than people expect. I think he's going to make hay a lot of this nursing home stuff, a lot of this COVID stuff.
He's already doing a general election.
DMV stuff, you know.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff he can go after, I think.
He's going, you know, and I've heard him on the radio. Cittarelli is very, he's laser focused. He's just ripping Murphy to shreds every time I hear him. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, but obviously it's a tough road to hoe with, you know, a million more Democrats and whatnot. But
he's already running his general election ads, John, when you think about it. He's running primary ads, but they're essentially general election ads. They're more the soft stuff about his background and his parents and all of that. I've seen them on TV. They're good ads.
It's this new campaigning statewide in New Jersey has always been difficult because you have to pay for New York eyes and Philadelphia eyes.
Yeah.
But now I don't, so much of modern campaigning is not TV anymore. So it's all social media.
Changed, John, because you can buy the local ads from the cable companies and you get inserted into the program because the local cable companies own some of the time on each show.
Yeah,
so you can buy those. It's a lot harder because you've got to do a lot more media to do that. But there are people that broker those ads, so you can.
I know. It's just, I don't know what the hell people watch anymore. You know, because it's like how you can.
What the brokers know, because they'll look at the demographics. And it's funny, he must advertise on CNBC because that's what I tend to watch, and I've seen a number of his ads on CNBC. I think
you prefer CNBC to Bloomberg or what?
Well, I watch Bloomberg too, so it might be on either one of those. I do not watch Fox Business. I don't watch Fox anything. It's just a matter of.
I like Bloomberg. I like Bloomberg.
Yeah, Bloomberg is good. Yeah.
Is Chitterelli using the guy that we used, John?
Chitterelli, we supported him 4 years ago when you were running, when he was running against Guadagno, and he lost to Guadagno.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to remember his consultant.
His strategist is your guy. Yeah, he's the same. Yeah, it's the same guy.
Stuck with him. Okay.
Yeah.
I wish he had run 4 years ago. I thought Kim was such a weak candidate, unfortunately.
I think Guadagno beat him like 60-40, but just because she was more well-known than him and because she had been lieutenant governor and generally just been an assemblyman and, you know, in Somerset and Hillsborough, right. Whatever, and wasn't known statewide, but, you know.
Did you know, this is just fun stuff. His wife, the consultant's wife, I can't remember his name now, but his wife is the daughter of a former Linden Democratic mayor. And his name will come to mind in a minute. Not a bad guy. But Jim Imbriaco's father was long-serving clerk of Linden, which is obviously a Democratic town. It's kind of funny.
Is Imbriaco a Democrat or a Republican? That's the question.
The 10 years he was on the planning board, he was registered, I think, independent, most of that, but he was a Democrat. Like, he gave money to Obama, and then he switched his registration to Republican before he ran for council with Mayor Peck. You know, that was around 2009 or so, and then that was, you know, the Crum and Hawk campaign should have made more hay of that than they did, but they might have. But whatever, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. How about, could you guys do Thursday afternoon?
I'm off on Thursday. So, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, it's good for me. What time do you guys want to meet?
Say 1:30, 2 o'clock. Is that good? Well, 1:30 is not good for you, John, right?
I'm off on Thursday. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've got another call that should be done by 1:30.
Okay. Are we doing a Zoom thing or?
I'll send out a Zoom invite. I can do that.
I mean, you want me to do it? Do you have Zoom, Bill? I do.
Yeah, I do too, John. I mean, you do it. You do it. Cause no, actually better if you do it. Cause I might be using mine for another call, which then kind of backs up. I think I'm on another guy's, but sometimes he's a joint. So we jump to mine. Just a pain in the neck.
All right. John, I'll send you that, the cranberry thing.
Yeah, I think Cranberry is the best one, John, I remember. The Ridgewood one was a lot more complicated.
Oh, no. I was just thinking maybe there were some reasons we could extract from Ridgewood. That's all.
Well, it was. Ridgewood had a lot of good language on other stuff, I remember.
Yeah, but we don't want to design it that way, but maybe some of the considerations could make some sense.
Right. Well, it's actually funny. As we were going into the meeting tonight, I have to admit, when I was reading the prep work this afternoon, I'm thinking, is this the type of thing that should even come before a board?
Oh, God help us, yeah.
You know, but you think about it, like the minor site plan side, you know, leave aside the event thing, which I viewed as a sideshow, but this kind of minor site plan, I mean, it's taking a store, making it a store. Why?
It's almost like a change of ownership. It's like a change of tenancy.
Yeah, but the change of tenancy, they don't need to come, do they?
No, that's a zoning review.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That, so this one should have been more like a zoning review. Now, if they wanted the variances, different conversation, I suppose.
Yeah, John, you know what I wanted to say, but I didn't. I'm sorry, I had to move because my laptop was going to die. John, you know what I wanted to say the whole time, but I didn't. Was I mean, with regard to they're right next to the municipal building.
They are.
I have never seen that lot more than like 10% full in my entire.
My bedroom is bigger than the friggin' store.
That's what I mean. I'm saying, but like in theory, people could park at the municipal building too and walk over.
Well,
I mean,
that's what I'm after. What kind of general store is this? I mean, they can't have a popcorn machine. That's 50% of the square footage.
I mean, it's just the whole thing. And then we were going to put monuments in and we were going to do this.
I like the counting cars idea if that was a big. I never thought of the stormwater impacting cars. I mean, I would have pushed back had we gone there, John. I would have said, you know, there's a difference between cars at an all-day event and cars at Bunk Park, probably, which are more temporary. But they never describe what these events are. If it's a sidewalk sale, is it like a barbecue of deer meat? I don't know.
I love venison.
It's going to be a, Les Geese get some good sausage over there. But, you know, anyway, I think the idea, it would be local farm produce and that sort of thing.
And that's, you know, it's a little bit like the farms. It's funny, you know, where the stormwater thing is going to become a problem for Mecca Conception when they do their festival. They have a lot of cars on the grass. And I'm going to say a quarter acre is going to become an issue for them.
I got Field of Dreams.
Yeah. That place is kind of, we someday have to talk about whether we keep maintaining
that. Catholic anyway.
Well, Brian's ready for, you know, they've selected kind of a spot and a kind of a size for the park.
Right.
So I think the thought is Field of Dreams just kind of goes away. And
well, it's funny. I kind of think it's either that or we'd have to spend money starting to maintain it and stuff like that. And I just don't know.
If you talk to Jay, it cost a lot of money.
And that's the problem. I mean, and I don't know that it gets the use anymore, John, in all honesty.
Well, it's deteriorated quite a bit. Lots of splinters. You apparently get all sorts of bees underneath every year. So Jay's got to go in there and kill bees and stuff. It's, you know, these wooden things are nice, but
maybe the right answer is when we build the new one at Waurukee and handicap accessible, we have to decommission a park.
I think that's really where the town's headed. And,
well, we've got the one at Bunt Park. We've got to have the new one. How many can we maintain? Limited funds. And that is it was pretty when it was built, but it's a maintenance nightmare.
No, it's old. It's been rebuilt once and, it'll always be a maintenance nightmare. It's not the stuff that would go into, Waurukee will be, you know, plastic and powder coated steel and that sort of stuff.
I mean, it's not one of those things. It's funny. We're rebuilding our decks here at Westgate where they're using the composite stuff for maintenance purposes alone. But Field of Dreams, it's funny. I drove by there a few weeks ago. I'm like, the road is a mess. I wouldn't send my kids there on a bet.
it's been the subject of more than a few complaints and concerns on the part of people like Jay, who's got to try to maintain it.
It's hard. Yeah, it really is hard.
Hopefully, Waurukeean will service the kids and the handicapped kids, or the kids in the development and the handicapped kids. And
how big is that playground going to be, John? Is it going to be a pretty big playground? I forget how much land we're setting aside for it.
Do me a favor. Ask Brian. I have a version, but I don't know if it's the latest version.
Yeah. Because that's actually, it's part of our affordable housing settlement, but it's actually separate from the Waurukeean, like that, affordable housing.
Yeah, we agreed it would share the entrance road, the boulevard.
Right, right.
As you go in, it'll be pretty far away. The entrance will be pretty far away from the highway and going on the north side.
Oh, good, yeah. So I know Amy's not happy with any of it interfering with her trails. Oh, yeah. I was reading the paperwork today. I meant to ask you this question. So I was reading the Highlands exemption form that the Game Butcher guys put in. I never really realized that one of the exemptions I'm reading, and that's why I say this, there's an exemption for the construction or extension of trails with non-pervious surfaces on public land. Non-pervious, I guess that's the – no. So is what Amy's building is non-pervious surfaces on public-owned lands, right?
You can build non-pervious in the Highlands for trails, but if you are doing a cluster development,
right,
then the land that is used as the 80% to 90% offset has to be pervious.
Got it.
But I think just regular preserved land, you can put in an impervious trail.
So non-impervious is like asphalt?
Impervious is asphalt.
Yeah, so non-impervious. Yeah, that.
Non-impervious then is natural. It's mulch.
It's pervious.
Yeah. So that's what this exemption, that's why I read this negative, exemption. Right? Yeah, so this exemption, John, the language is weird. Exemption 8. For the construction or extension of trails with non-pervious surfaces on publicly owned lands or privately owned lands where a conservation or recreational easement has been established. So you get an exemption if you have a site plan certified by an appropriate qualified licensure Jersey professional showing the proposed trail construction with the details, including the location, width of existing proposed trails, and those off-site trails to which they connect, if any, a written description of the non-pervious is to be used, and blah, blah, blah. I don't think we do that for our trails.
You said non-pervious, is that right?
Non-impervious.
Oh, okay. Well, all of our trails, Bund Park, for instance, is impervious.
Yeah, those
that was
I understand.
Built way before Highlands.
Yeah. I'm more worried about the trails Amy's building, like at Prospect.
Oh, that is all pervious. It's all, the water will go through it.
Well, that's what I thought. So this they really care if you're building like asphalt trails someplace or somewhere. So yeah, because you're creating a
impervious, yeah.
Right. Yeah, because ours are just like wood chips or whatever the hell we're putting down. Got it. Okay.
Correct. That's
fine. What would they consider like Columbia Trail is like gravel, isn't it? What would they consider Columbia Trail then?
Yeah, it's like a DGA. It's gravel. It's a
But water goes through gravel. I mean, not so much. It doesn't count. Oh, really? So if you use gravel, that counts like asphalt, sort of? It's not – dirt is fine. Anything not dirt is not as good?
What happens is most people – do you know what DGA is? It's dense graded aggregate.
Oh, okay.
So it's like – to me, it's what's left over. When you sift stuff through, you take riprap out and then go on down. And then you get down to three-quarter stone, which is the loose gravel for driveways.
Right.
Everything down below that is DGA, and that is mostly used for roadbeds where it's a mix of 3/4 inch down to rock dust. So when that packs in, it's like a rock. It's like concrete.
Well, that's it. That's the idea on it, though. Yeah. So and that's not really impervious then. It doesn't drain. Interesting. Yeah.
It's not at any rate. And Larry just said that today, that gravel now even doesn't count as pervious.
Really?
Yeah. That was part of the discussion.
The stormwater. Oh, that was the parking lot. So if you put gravel down,
it counts as impervious. Yeah.
So it's just even grass we can't disturb for cars anymore. Wow. We might regret this damn regulation.
Like I said, New Jersey can make anything complicated and expensive.
This is going to become a nightmare for the town of Clinton when they want to do their bonfire at the park over here. I mean, just, because they park in the grass.
Just ignore it. I mean, they're just going to, I can tell you, Janice being Janice,
She ignored it until she can. They got ratted out for their Christmas tree thing a few years ago. Remember that became a big controversy.
So she will do her best to ignore it.
Well, now she's the head of the league, though, John. She's,
That's only for 1 year, though.
Oh, it's only 1 year?
Yeah,
oh, that's
you build your way up, and the fourth VP is 4 years to go.
Yeah, and then you're only there 1 year, and then...
Then you rotate out. Then you become part of the Hall of Fame.
There you go.
All-timers.
All right. So we'll do Thursday at 1:30.
Thursday at 1:30 it is. I'm glad you repeated that, because I had written down...
Well, I had to repeat it for myself, too, because my calendar, I'm like, do I have Thursday open? Yeah, Thursday is good. Perfect.
Now, John, is that good for you? Because we can also do any afternoon at 3.
No, I'm off on Thursday, so that's fine.
That's the best bet? Okay.
That'd be great.
All right. We'll send you that stuff.
Send me the cranberry language. I want to look at some other municipalities, see if we can find similar language in other towns, and then maybe, we'll go.
I did look at Reddington, who had what was, I thought, a reasonably nice construct. It's gone now. So.
But they changed it?
Yeah, I don't see a technical review committee in any sense that would be helpful.
Vita what about Vita?
You could ask, but
she was their administrator for 20 years, wasn't she? I mean,
oh, forever. Administrator, clerk, and treasurer.
Why did she leave that
pension.
And we were more attractive, or I mean, I don't
part time.
She retired, so. So she gets her pension and she's making $90K a year with us.
Okay. Right, on top of it.
All right, just I asked the question.
Carla told me one day that she was going to Vita's retirement luncheon, and I said, "Really? What's the date?" You know. And as soon as that date came up, I was after her. I think she is the best clerk in the county, except for Mary, of course.
You mean administrator?
Well, the best administrator. I meant to say administrator, but yeah. she was the best clerk. She's a master clerk. She taught that stuff at Rutgers for a long time, but she, I think, was also the best administrator in the county.
How many hours a week does she do for us?
3 days.
Yeah.
Was that like 20, 30 hours, or what was it?
21
times three.
Yeah.
Okay. But she has explained to everybody, and I'm sure Bill knows this as well as I do, if something bad happens, I don't care what day it is, and I don't care what hour it is, you are going to pick up that phone and you're going to tell me.
Right. Where does she live?
Do you know where Pickle Park is by the municipal building in Reddington?
No, she lives in Reddington?
Reddington, just if you make a turn to go toward...
all right, so she's close.
There's a little circle, a little... a small development with kind of a loop road, and she's back in there, just north of the municipal building, northwest of the building.
So we part-time administrator, part-time CFO. Now, so we're I see the trend.
Well,
here.
We posted the CFO job. I think I saw something on that, didn't we?
Brian was saying that they were going in that direction. I don't know.
And I think I saw a clip on that too. Not through council. I think I saw it as a member of the public. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Brian said, you know, we're going. Yeah, we got to start going there someday. And
yeah, but no, Vita can do this in her sleep in 3 days. Once she straightens out all the things that weren't straightened out, and I understand she's making really good progress. And John, she is so competent and straightforward that even making changes that most people would not care for very much. Because she is very fair and very firm and very consistent. I'm told that there's not much in the way of negative reaction.
From the employees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they also know she speaks with a lot of authority. Like she's done it for a long time, which
correct.
Helps.
Correct.
And she's not viewed as like a nincompoop, like unfortunately our last couple guys were. So John, who was better, Marvin or Jesse, in terms of being a nincompoop? Who's the lesser of the nincompoops?
He's gonna say Jesse because I'm gonna say Marvin was worse because Marvin was a Nick guy.
No. They were mirror images of each other. Marvin would never do anything. Jesse, he would go off and do crazy stuff.
Yeah. So
it's like when I worked in Virginia, I would tell the guys in the plant to do something, they'd come back a day later and say, "John, what you told me was stupid. Here's what I did. It's better." And I'd say, "Oh, thank you." I went to Puerto Rico. I tell them to do the right stuff. I come visit them a day later. It was a total mess.
Yeah.
So Marvin, Jesse, you know?
Interesting.
Jesse was never in his office. Marvin was never out of his office.
They were mirror images. That's so funny.
But I would say on the whole, Marvin was easier to work with, John, because he would give you advice like, "You're making a mistake here, Higgins," you know, or "Here's how to write an employment letter." And so he tried his best to keep somebody like me from making mistakes.
Hmm.
Jesse was just very difficult. Very, very difficult.
Yeah.
He had to do it his way. And then the war started.
Well, we seem to always get these guys when they're at the end of their careers too, and they've got one foot out the door, and their incentives are structured just to, you know, I don't know, as opposed to maybe next time we hire somebody young and up and coming who, has their career in front of them, not behind them. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, my daughter marries, Michael, her husband's father is a commissioner in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania.
Hmm.
Rich is a Yale neurologist. He does clinical trial work now, as a consultant. Very smart guy. Their terms are 6 years each. So he owned the old Republican Guard, who are not nice people. And he's just finished running for his the last year for a second 6 year term. But anyway, they use the Miner Center. Governor Miner from Jersey founded a center in Lafayette College that helps towns find people like this. And they had gotten some really fine candidates. They had six that they thought very highly of. And they took John's suggestion. They hired a young woman who had some experience in the West and was highly developable, and they are tickled with her.
Wow. I didn't know Lafayette had that center. That's interesting.
Yeah, and Rich wasn't quite sure if they do work for New Jersey. He knows they do work for Pennsylvania, obviously.
Sure.
But, it's a Pennsylvania college, but it's a New Jersey governor, for heaven's sake. So
right.
if Vita had not worked out, that's where I was going.
How long do you think we have Vita for, John, if you had a guess? How long do you think we have Vita for, if you had a guess? A couple years?
Yeah, I don't think Vita can sit still. I think
I could see that. Yeah.
I mean,
she enjoys it.
she'll go to at least, I got to think she'll go to 70. I mean, she just.
Yeah.
Her husband died a few years ago. She's got a friend now who, she enjoys dinner with and they travel a bit. So I think her mom is over there in Reddington on Route 22. So I think until she's feeling sick or something, I think she'll be there as long as we want her.
That'd be good. A little stability for a while. Yeah. And as you said, just sort of righting the ship again. And
I mean, I knew her a lot, from my days at Merck, and she doesn't know much about the planning board, and she'll tell you that. But she lived with a rotating mayor. She lived with, opposition candidates who got elected, split councils. And Ron Menaco, who I respect, he's my model for public service. I hope I could, maybe have a reputation a little bit as good as his. Ron said, and John Drill said this too, she could have a total numbnuts opposition candidate, who got elected, and they both said she would never kowtow to somebody that wanted to do something stupid or something that was destructive. They'd have to go through her to make it happen. So she's, I loved her at Merck. I mean, she was wonderful to deal with. She really was. So.
Anyway. I know all those towns though, we're the only one, the larger towns in 100 that has the strong mayor. The independently elected mayor. So, I mean, with the other towns all rotating it, the mayor doesn't have nearly as much power. It's almost, in terms of, even when Simé, for instance, had a council that was not cooperative really, still just as independently as the mayor, he was able to control a lot of appointments and whatnot. And, with Reddington and Raritan Township, that's not necessarily the case.
Need a cabal, a group of three or four and they've been fortunate. Reddington, we were crazy town. Reddington always had, the before Bunny Muir showed up, you had the,
what's her face?
Gosh, pardon?
Well, I can't remember her name. The big open space lady.
Betty Fort.
Julie Allen and, Len and, they live on, Len and Terry Martin. Terry Martin was the mayor when we came in. But you had those three, and then Stephanie Stevens. Those three were very tight. And then there was a little bit of a regime change, and Bunny Muir showed up, and the current crowd came in.
Hmm.
But, they were very steady for a long time. There's only 14 of us in New Jersey. you have to have a population below 14,000. We're a small municipality form of government. And there just aren't many of us. And thank God. I mean, it's like instead of the House changing every 2 years, the mayor changes every 1 year, and it's very difficult to get anything done.
Yeah.
Unless you've got 2 or 3 years at least, you know, you start moving things and look at Annandale Village 6 years on, and maybe we'll start construction this summer.
Not cool, John. Yeah. Not cool. Every time I drive by that building, I think another piece of that little siding has fallen off.
And honestly, look at our finances, Brian.
Yeah.
This year is the first year we've got a really good surplus. You know, you've got to be a little nervous about cash flow, but it's not chewing your fingernails.
Not as bad as it was, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it took a long time to right that ship. It really, really did. And affordable housing, too. You know, we're really out of the woods on that.
Well, until 25, and then we'll see what happens, I suppose.
Well, 25, we can elect not to do any 100%ers. And then it's, if there's not utilities, it's all durational.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't say I was smart enough to say to myself in a negative way that, okay, we're going to use up all the utilities and then we won't have to do anymore. But I wanted to get us out of this backlog and not have us sued and then get totally screwed over with a gigantic development.
Oh, look at West Windsor. The loss they had was the kiss of death. I mean,
I still have the presentation that Clark Caton did to that town explaining what a fiasco they got themselves into.
Yeah.
And that fucking Nick is so stupid. He doesn't,
exactly.
He keeps touting this 800 house thing. He has no clue and no concept what's actually going to get built. The percentage
of affordable market rate is going to be.
Yeah.
Nick doesn't care about those details, John. You know, big idea guy. And, funny enough for me, I keep thinking 25. With all these commitments that all the towns around here have, what demand is going to be left for new housing? I mean, if all this stuff gets built, it's a lot of houses. I mean, you think, add up Union, add up Franklin, add up Bethlehem, add up, you know.
Well, a lot of it won't because a lot of these towns don't have anything in the way of utilities.
Right.
You know, so... But we were blessed or cursed with it, so you know we had a.
What? Sorry, West Windsor. I didn't even know that. What is West Windsor getting hit with? I didn't even...
Oh.
Oh, they tried to stiff.
Co-developed
housing. And the court took everything away. It invalidated the planning board. So basically, say planning board, go home. We'll tell you what you're going to approve.
And that, well, no, I get that. So they, okay, so they
but they got a lot of houses as a result too.
Oh, like, God.
Right, no, because that's a decent sized town, right? Number one there too. So I mean,
even their number, John, if I remember, was huge. I mean, I forget the numbers, but at the time, it was right around, I think when we were settling, John, I think they lost their case, if I remember, like right after, I think we had the agreement, maybe like a month after or something. I think we had the tentative agreement in December. They might have lost in January.
It was very close. I think because I looked at the Clark Caton, they did a presentation on it, and it was an example of people. You've got to come to a settlement, or this is what can happen. So it was maybe could have been 3 months kind of time frame. So it was very handy to have that at least in my head, if not my back pocket. Yeah.
But John Osworth, the number was horrendous for them. It was just a really high number, I remember. And you know, if you do the 20% thing, the number of houses is going to make
whatever that they want, right?
Well, yeah. You know, to me, it was like almost giving the right to farm to everything. Like, you know, basically give over your planning to someone else, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, the court would make a decision where it should go and who the developer should be.
Right. No, I know that's always been the, you know, with the unholy alliance between the builders and the Fair Share Housing Center and whatnot is that, you know, again, if they can invalidate your zoning and build whatever the hell they want, I mean, that's what builders want to do. But I know my ex-girlfriend from a few months ago, she lives in West Windsor. That's why I was wondering. I spent a lot of time down there last year. I was wondering.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the unholy alliance is everyone in Trenton that's done nothing about this for 40 years, essentially. I mean.
Yeah. And no, you find a politician that can make it I come back to Massachusetts over and over again. 30B, 40B, whatever it is.
Yep. What is it, like one affordable for every 10 you build? Or I forget, but it's a ratio, if I remember.
A town needs to have 10% affordable.
Right.
And it's revisited every census. So every 10 years, if you got 9%, you got to build one. You got 11%, you don't have to do anything. And the demographics are virtually identical. The income demographics, all that stuff is just like us, but it has a rational nexus.
Yeah, but they've been afraid to attack it. I get it. I mean, it's like the third rail of politics, clearly. But they, for years, they've ignored. Then Christie actually made a bigger mess of it, in a sense. I mean, he kind of – it was already bad that he made it even worse, I think.
Well, he
gutted Poet administratively, but it's still – I mean, it's still – there's 30 years of judicial opinions, on it that weren't going to change. The New Jersey court's not going to change. The jurisprudence isn't going to change,
If we can do something in the Constitution about pot, we can do something about affordable housing.
Yeah, that and school funding are the third rail. Those are the two biggest issues in Jersey.
Well, the problem is you're not going to – the thing is, funny enough, the policy change they made – and I get it. It actually made sense to me when they did it. But when towns like us were prohibited from buying – affordable housing in places like New Brunswick.
Yeah, it's the
I get it from a public policy point of view, but it's RCAs. Putting the housing in the wrong spot.
It's regional contribution agreements, RCAs. Yeah, we did one with New Brunswick like 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Exactly. I remember those. And then, of course, I know why they fell out of favor, but, now all those towns are crying for housing and they're going to get Section 8 funding for the government. I don't know if that's better or worse. It's just different.
Could be. I hopefully it'll count toward the obligation that's seen by various consultants. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Right. 10 o'clock.
I'm going to go out and have a scotch.
How's good for that? You. I'm going to go down and finish some wine, I think.
I'm off the sauce. I'm off the sauce for 6 weeks.
Oh, I did the no hard alcohol for Lent. I always kept wine on the list. So I'm not sure that really counted. I wasn't getting criticism from Jesus Christ or anyone, but I felt a little guilty.
Well, he was a wine drinker after all.
Yeah, there you go. He made wine, for God's sakes.
Right. So what the heck?
I beat the shit out of my liver during COVID for the last year during COVID. So I'm trying to take a break and,
Good for you. It's probably the smart thing to do.
I'm trying to drop a few pounds too. So we'll see.
That is a help, actually. Yeah,
it is. It's true. But a good scotch is good for you too, John.
Yeah. Agreed.
Bill, do you think Gonzaga will take it or what?
Oh, it's funny. They're playing now, aren't they? Yeah, I don't know. What's the score?
It just started a few minutes ago, yeah.
Oh, okay, 9:30. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think they will. I hope they will. They're the underdog to me.
I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Baylor's winning 9-0 right 3 minutes in.
9-0?
My daughter went to St. Joe's down in Philly. My pagan baby goes to a Catholic college. She hasn't seen the inside of a church in probably 10 years.
There's an irony to that, isn't there?
I was completely amazed that she just fell in love with St. Joe's. She could have gone to Lafayette. She could have gone to Villanova, but I think she liked dancing on bar tops in Conshohocken or whatever that place is. The other one.
Conshohocken is fun.
What's the other? There's another. It's on the other side of the river. I can't remember the name of the darn place. Very close to Conshohocken.
Okay.
That's where you can have a lot of fun in the evening.
All right. All right, gentlemen. We'll talk on Thursday.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye out.
There we go. I
think I got it. Hold on. Cancel. Okay. Now I got it. I'm reading.